Hello to our listening audience. Thank you for joining us for this edition of CMPL's podcast. Today, your hosts are me, Megan, the Outreach Manager for Adult Services, most often can be found at the main library, and
Sarah, Adult Services Librarian, most often found at the first floor fiction desk, but also at all the branches every now and then.
We just like to shake it up sometimes.
Yep.
Today, we are going to be telling you all about the Battle of the Books for adults.
Woohoo!
Yay! This is going to be our fourth year hosting this fun trivia-based event. It is going to be held on November 12th at 2 p.m., and we are back at the main library auditorium. Yay!
Yay!
The most exciting part about this is that it means the snacks are back. We are providing the snacks.
Yes.
The last couple of years, we have done this event online so that people could, participate from the comfort of their own homes. But that means you have to make your own snacks. And this year at the main library auditorium, we will provide the snacks as well as this competition. So what is Battle of the Books, you might be asking? If you haven't participated before, it is about reading, it's about fun, it's about snacks, and it's about prizes, because like I said, this is a trivia competition. All of the questions for this Battle of the Books trivia game, all the questions come from just six books. So as long as you have read and you know those six books, you'll be well prepared for this trivia competition. It is for adults. There's no age requirement, but all the books are geared to adults. Teams may have up to six members, so you don't have to read all six books yourself if that's not how you want to work it. Questions will come from all six books, though, so somebody on your team should have read, everybody should have read something. And we have copies of the books available throughout the CMPL system. We have e-copies, we have audio copies, large print for a lot of them, so we are here to prepare you so that you are ready for November 12th. And we're going to talk about these books that we've read. One or the other of us has read all these books and we can recommend them. So should we jump in?
Yeah, we should. And I'll just say that you have 3 months from now till Battle of the Books. So if you divide things up properly, that's really only two books per month, which is
plenty of time. Totally doable.
All right, so I'll jump in with our first Battle of the Books pick, and it is called The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune. This came out, almost actually 2 years ago now, so maybe you've already read it. Mm-hmm. This is a fantasy novel for adults, but honestly, this is perfectly appropriate for teens as well. Mm-hmm. It is the story of Linus, who is a caseworker at the department in charge of magical youth. He is essentially, he checks in on orphanages because in this fantasy world, magical children tend to be orphans and are monitored by the state and kept in orphanages. And as a caseworker, Linus makes sure that everything is running appropriately. And one day he gets an assignment from extremely upper management, in all caps, that he has to go out to this very special orphanage and check on the very unusual inhabitants and make sure that everything is okay out there. And Linus, of course, is very much a rule follower, happy to go do whatever management says, but they say, we can't tell you anything about it. Here's a file. You'll read it when you get there. So of course,
Linus does love files.
He does. He loves his paperwork. But once he gets there, he realizes why this place is such a secret, because it turns out that this orphanage on this island in the Cerulean Sea has the most unique children that are out there. One child is even reputed to be the Antichrist.
They're a little beyond pure magical.
Yes. So this is then the story of how Linus comes to get to know the children and their caretaker, Arthur, and maybe he starts to realize that his job is not everything there is in life.
Mm-hmm. And that sometimes the paperwork doesn't tell you everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, heartwarming story. It really makes you feel good reading it.
Agreed. It's delightful.
Yes. And the audio is even more delightful.
Oh, yes. I listened to this, and the narrator is so great, because when you have characters like a 6-year-old anti, or maybe Antichrist, or, you know, a gnome, or, you know, just all the different characters. One of the characters is a wyvern. I had to look up what that was. It's like a dragon with no arms.
Yeah.
Like a serpentine dragon.
Yeah.
So these are the children that he's tasked to help, and they're children, and they're funny, and they're weird, and
yep. And we read this. I was gonna say, this book was one of the one of our library book clubs, our Books on Tap pick for the summer, and everyone loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the child named Chauncey, who is an undefinable creature that is mostly just sort of a blob, partially see-through, but his one dream in life is to become a bellhop at a hotel. Chauncey is the most adorable.
Yeah. 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 So it is fantasy, but even our librarians who don't read fantasy said it was very accessible. It's not overly long. It's not going to like tax your brain. It's a lot of fun. And I would recommend this to almost anybody.
Yes. Yeah. So that's pick number one.
Pick number one. Pick number two is also a book that came out a while ago. It is The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. This is another book. It did come out in fall of 2020, so almost 2 years ago. It's been quite popular. This is another book that I listened to. It is narrated by, British Carrie. I should have looked this up. Anyway, the narrator is great for this as well. And it is narrated. It's the story of one person, Nora, who isn't happy in her life. And she decides one night to take her life, but instead of everything ending, she actually ends up in the Midnight Library, where multiple different paths open up to her, and she gets to see what her life would have been like had she chosen different paths. So the Midnight Library, I don't know, it's a metaphor. I can say that, right? It's a metaphor. and it, you know, because she meets other travelers throughout her visits to these different lives. You could call them alternate universes. They're not presented that way, but she meets other travelers, and for them, they don't have a library. They have a video store, you know, like a Blockbuster, where you can go in and check out different lives. And so she visits and says, you know, what if I had pursued this talent of mine to be a swimmer? What if I had not broken up the band with my brother? What if, you know, I had married my, you know, young sweetheart? And she sees these lives, and when she becomes dissatisfied, she gets popped back to the Midnight Library. And throughout this experience, she kind of sees, you know, that there's no one thing that would just have fixed your life. There's no one thing that just makes things better. Even in a lot of these other lives, she struggles with depression. It's not just here. It's not just this set of circumstances. And it's relatively short. It's 288 pages, but the amount of content that the author packs into this book, I thought was amazing, and given its relative length. And it's so fun to see a character that you come to know really well, and you can see the same through lines that she sees throughout these different lives. You know, she's still the same person. And it is also heartwarming. It's not, I wouldn't say it's as fun or as funny as The House in the Cerulean Sea. This is another one, even though it has this fantastical element, it's not, you know, it's not super long. It's not complicated to understand. It's just this idea of, you know, what if things were different, and what if they just aren't, and how do you live with that?
Yeah.
So that's The Midnight Library, another one that I think a lot of people have already maybe read. And if you haven't, it's definitely worth picking up.
All right. Well, our pick Our third pick is actually a fairly new release. Book number three is The Maid by Nita Prose. And this came out basically, I think, in January of this year and was a Good Morning America book club pick. So this got a lot of press and attention. It is a mystery, more of a traditional mystery with an amateur sleuth. And our main character here is Molly, who is the titular maid. She works at a very fancy hotel. She's young. I think she's about 25. And she really loves cleaning. So she really loves her job as a maid. This isn't like a thing that she, you know, does because she has to. It's like, this is her passion. She was raised raised alone with her grandmother, who also worked as a domestic at some rich person's house. And they, you know, cleaning was just part of their routines. And Molly herself is a little quirky. The book never says like there's any particular diagnosis, but she's, you know, not always great at picking up social cues, and maybe being raised by her grandmother has made her a little bit old-fashioned in her mm-hmm. turns of phrase and the way she thinks about things. But Molly likes her job and she gets along well with her coworkers, even if she's not really close to anybody, you know, with that whole not understanding social interactions very well. But one day she happens to be cleaning the penthouse suite when she discovers the dead body of Mr. Black, a very important figure in the community. And being the only witness, she is, you know, interviewed by the police, but the responses that she gives in her police interview are strange. And the way she behaves and, you know, the way she answers questions soon makes her a person of interest in the mystery, you know, in the police investigation. And so Molly then has to go about clearing her own name because she certainly didn't commit this murder, but why does everyone think she did? And in her investigations, she uncovers a lot of things under the surface at this hotel that she'd never paid attention to before.
So she's learning about more than just Mr. Black.
Yes. But this is also a fun, fast read. I read this in just a couple of days. It's only about 300 pages. So it moves quick. It's plot driven, but the characters are interesting. Molly is very sympathetic and, you know, you want her to, you know, find that community that she's looking for, as well as, you know, solve the mystery and make sure that she doesn't go to jail for a crime she didn't commit.
Right. Yeah, I know this one has kind of been on my list just because it's been so popular. I like mysteries. It's been checked out quite a bit. It was one of our hot reads. But we do have a few copies in. You should be able to get it quickly if this is something you want to put on hold to check it out in the next couple months.
Yeah.
All right. Our next pick is also a mystery of a sort. It's hard to know how to categorize Dial A for Aunties by Jesse Q. Sutanto. There's a little bit of a mystery. There's a little bit of a caper, I would say. There's a little bit of comedy. There's a little bit of romance in Dial A for Aunties. This book follows, the main character is Madeline Chan, who has a wedding, not just a wedding planning business, but like a wedding services business with her four aunties and her mother, three aunties and a mother. Her family is Indonesian, Chinese Indonesian. And so they sort of specialize. If you read Crazy Rich Asians and the like centerpiece wedding that when I watched the movie, I was like, I need to watch the movie just so I can see what this wedding looks like in real life. Like, that's what this reminds, I have no context for this in real life. Like, no one I know is that fancy, but this is what I think, because it's on a private island. However, so there's this like major wedding that they're doing. The groom's name is Tom Cruise, but it's not that Tom Cruise, but his name is Tom Cruise. I feel like it just like elevates it. So they're about to, you know, cater, do the cake, do the flowers, do the wedding planning, do the photography. These are all the different aspects that Medi and her family handle. They handle everything for you. It's at this fancy resort, but the night before, why would her mother do this to her? She sets her up on a blind date with someone who turns out to be bad news, and Maddie tases him. And unfortunately, he could not handle it, and she has killed him in her car.
Oh.
It's very bad. It's very bad for many, many reasons, but this is not a serious book. And so it's, what are they going to do with this dead body? She's, you know, she's dazed. She doesn't know what to do. She drives home. She finds herself at home. And well, the aunties sweep into action. They're going to handle it for her, but they have this big wedding. So he ends up stashed in a freezer. Many things ensue. It turns out that the resort that this big wedding is at is run by her ex-college boyfriend, who's back in town. He wasn't supposed to be in California, but it turns out he lives here now. So there's a lot. There's a lot going on. Despite the murder, it's fairly lighthearted.
So instead of investigating a murder, we're covering up a murder.
Covering up a murder. Yeah. But then there is some hijinks happening at the wedding. So there is some, you know, investigating into larger nefarious activities. Again, there's a lack of, I feel like a caper best describes this, because there's just, you know, one thing after another going on. But again, Maddie is a very sympathetic character. The aunts are hilarious. You got to suspend your disbelief a little bit, but it's a lot of fun.
All right.
That's Dial A for Aunties by Jesse Q. Sutanto.
All right. Well, our next pick is also about women and family relationships, but definitely a lot less funny. Our fifth pick is called Of Women and Salt by Gabriela Garcia. This was also a book discussion book for CMPL a couple of months ago. And this is a story about the relationship between mothers and daughters. And it's sort of historical and sort of contemporary. It's kind of a family saga about many generations of women who started in Cuba and have now come to the U.S. following the Cuban Revolution. And it explores intergenerational trauma and what that does to families. And it also weaves in the story of an El Salvadoran immigrant, Gloria, and her daughter, Anna, who are picked up by ICE in Florida, but then end up in Texas and then Mexico. And there's a little bit of how their story intersects with the Cuban family briefly in Florida. And I guess I will say that the non-linear structure of this book may be a tiny bit difficult for some people. It does bounce between characters and also a little bit back and forth in time, but it moves thematically so that as you progress, you come to understand better what has happened to the family and secrets are revealed. And the beauty of this book is in the writing. It's the language is very descriptive and evocative and is very emotional. So in that way, it's a lovely exploration.
I was going to say, this book is not very long. It's only, you know, 200 some pages. It's a lot to cover in.
Yep. And so, you know, maybe there are a few things that are not as fully illuminated, but you do learn the important secrets that you want to learn and get a sense of, you know, the impact of historical and political events on a family.
And I have not read this book, but I do love a book that can do a lot in a short amount of time and that can like string together the most important moments and kind of make sense out of stories that may seem like they don't go together.
Yes. So this one may be better read as print book or ebook rather than audio, just because there is a helpful family tree at the beginning of the book in case you want to keep track of who is who and when you are in time.
Yeah. I love a family tree. I love a map.
Oh yeah.
I love all that. All right. And our last book is our nonfiction pick. This book came out in 2019, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb. You may have also heard of this book because it was our 1-2-3 pick for our mental health series that we did earlier in 2022. Maybe You Should Talk to Someone by Lori Gottlieb is about a therapist, her therapist, and our lives revealed. So Lori Gottlieb is a therapist. And at a certain point in her life, she has a bad breakup. She breaks up with a man that she thought she was going to marry, the man that she thought was going to be a stepfather to her child, the man that she thought she was going to spend the rest of her life with, says, "I can't do this." And she says, "What?" And she's totally blindsided by it. And she decides, she comes to realize that she's not going to make it through this alone. She helps people every day, and that she can let someone help her make sense of this thing that would just totally blindsided her. And so it's about her and her therapist and what they talk about and what is, what she comes to decide is important, but it's also about her patients. And, you know, she sort of says in the beginning that they're composites. I don't know if, you know, therapy is supposed to be confidential. So obviously names have been changed. I'm not sure if they are actual people or if they're, you know, sort of based on a real person with other things included. But we learn about a very young person, a newlywed who has a life-threatening cancer. We learn about, you know, a very important man who has a television writing and directing career, and he doesn't have time for all his family's BS. And we learn about an older woman coming to her 70th birthday who feels like she's lost her family. She doesn't have any friends. She doesn't know what she's living for anymore. And again, that makes it sound really heavy, but the humanity in this book is just, I feel like I could identify with every person. And I would say character, but you know, even if they're composites, they're based on real people. So I feel like was really nice to see that, you know, it's a book that makes you feel like you're not alone, that everything that you are maybe struggling with or these pieces of things, this is something that someone else has already gone through, and that you're not in it alone. You can find someone to talk to, even if you're supposed to be the one that people come to. Sometimes you can benefit from having a sounding board. You learn a little bit about Lori Gottlieb's backstory and what therapy does and the different ideas behind it, but it is just, again, a delightful book, a book that really makes you feel like you're part of something. So if you haven't read this, if you missed it during our 1-2-3 session, it was a pick for our nonfiction book club. It's definitely worth picking up. I didn't listen to it, but I think it would be a great listen as well.
That sounds really interesting.
It is. Rounds out our six picks.
All right.
That's all six.
So Adult Battle of the Books, again, is on Saturday, November 12th, 2 p.m. in the auditorium at CMPL's main branch. Remember to take notes as you're reading, because we're going to ask trivia questions about hopefully not the most obscure details, but, you know, you'll want to pay attention to things. But let's talk about prizes for a minute, because addition to giving out prizes for answering the most correct questions, we have traditionally given out prizes to teams that have the best team spirit. We encourage dressing up in costume if you have,
of course.
And we'd like you to create a fun team name. You could even design a costume based on your fun team name that maybe has a little literary reference in it. We do give out prizes for those kinds of things as well.
Yep. And when you register, registration is open now. It's a little earlier than usual, but we want you to register so that you're all set when the time comes, because we know it's going to take you some time to read these books. We will ask you your team name, how many people are on your team. So think about what you want that team name to be.
Anyone from any of the libraries in the Suburban Library Cooperative are eligible. So it's not just CMPL card holders, but if you have a library card from an SLC library, you are also eligible and very welcome to sign up for trivia.
Yeah. So we're working with some different libraries like Shelby, Fraser,
Centerline
to put together these questions and encourage you to read some great books. That's what it's all about, right?
Exactly.
but also prizes and snacks.
Yes.
All right. If you have any questions, you can contact us at the library. There's a display of these books at the main library on the first floor. Otherwise, you can put them on hold. You can do the ebooks, and we hope to see you in November.
Yeah. And thanks for listening.
Bye.